Good morning. It's a real pleasure to be here today, and I will be talking about Carnegie Mellon's amazing project aware computing solutions for aging and disability and dependence. I will be covering several topics and illustrating that with a richer set of built prototypes that have been not only built but evaluated in several cases. There will be data also, that somebody just asked the question about the data, so we can have more discussion based on the data as well. As you can see, namely capable of identifying the user context, the what's happening in the surrounding, we call them human-centric. We call it human-centric computing. Then something about learning and monitoring user state, physiological and emotional state. Context-aware smartphone that elderly can use, a system for diabetes management that we also built. Then emergency medical applications, what happens if old person gets heart attack? How can computers and pervasive computing help? Acting as cardiologist at home and then in the ambulance car, etc. How to help Alzheimer's patients with Wear XP platform. We are building a fairly complex project. Smart room, nurse bot, robot that can live with elderly at home. You can hug it like your pillow, talk to it, you can dial your daughter's phone number, etc. Context-aware computing is a major breakthrough. People don't like the word breakthrough, but I have to use it in computing, not only in the context of elderly people, but in general. Making computers aware of the user state is just a tremendous improvement. As you know, in that respect, today's computers are pretty dumb. They have no notion what you need as patient, as elder person, as designer, as engineer, whichever situation you would like to address. And then cognitive capabilities, distraction for the elderly person, that's one issue that pervasive computing can address. And I'd like to mention that using these paradigms, we somehow like to enhance and augment elder people's capabilities. This chart illustrates 24 generations of our wearables built over the last 10, 11 years. And of course, I don't have time to go through this, but you can identify pretty interesting form factors that can fit on your body very nicely, like badge or something that you can easily put on your belt, providing computing power of a workstation. Especially recent generations that we built. In addition to capability of connecting multiple sensors, and as you know, workstations cannot, in most cases, do that. Even running a video link, etc. I would love to go through some of them. You can see some form factors, just like digital pen or the badge, etc. Maybe on the follow chart you can, I don't think we have to go to those applications, but on this one you can see some of them called Viewman or Navigator. There is also wearable computer speech recognizer, namely speech translator. It can translate your speech, first recognize and then translate and then play back. And here you can see U.S. personnel using it in communicating with people in foreign country, asking questions in English, computer translates in foreign language, plays back in foreign language, and then foreign person replies in the same way, vice versa, you hear answer in English. This is U.S. soldier in Bosnia. And then Mocha, unit-like badge that can provide you real-time video and audio communication with remote doctor, with remote expert. Then computers that elderly can use in the car that can help to identify if they are getting drowsy with this face cam in the left corner. There is camera actually to identify if you miss traffic sign and then can play you the alternative sequence with routes, which alternative routes you can take. There is all audio communication with devices and alerts. If you are getting drowsy, gesture cam if you don't have attention, if you are passing a truck and somebody calls you on the cell, somebody start talking in the car, you just do a gesture, meaning stop conversation. And then there is also smart cell phone system that I'll describe later with more images. If you get incoming phone call while you are passing a truck, let's say, in foggy night, one nice form factor of a recent wearable called Spot. This is the badge system, one of head-mounted wearables with head-mounted displays, providing you full VGA screen just in front of your eye. Here, wearable computer with display that can give a surgeon images of the patient brain or heart during the surgery or any other image from the file that a surgeon might be interested in. These are some more technical things, what's contained in these systems. And I just wanted to show, perhaps to spend a couple of the sentences on this proactive assistant, where we use synthesized knowledge and procedures to guide that can be applied for the elderly persons, providing them guidance and synthesized knowledge and instructions how to do specific operations if they forgot to do or don't know how to do. Now, about the wearables and the systems that can automatically learn and monitor user's psychological and emotional state. This is fairly complex project. There are pretty complex algorithms behind it. I covered some of them in the slides, but I won't have time to go through that. But let me just point the main characteristics. So basically, we are building the wearables that can learn about the user states, user's activities, patterns of the activities, signal-specific abnormalities or departures from the usual activities. The wearable unit is a armband with 6 sensors, 2 accelerometers for motion, climbing, walking type of the mobile activity, heartbeat sensor, galvanic skin response, and temperature sensors for body temperature and the near ambient temperature. Galvanic skin response measures conductivity between 2 points on the skin and can even give information about the person's emotional state or if the person is sweating, etc. Now, clearly there is a lot of machine learning and statistical analysis algorithm behind these charts. So you can see the sensor data in the top line and then some clustering Markov chain analysis going on and then identified states at the end. This is the diagram illustrating these processes. Of course, any of you who are interested in this can discuss it in more details. Using coherent self-organizing maps with vector quantization method, etc. You can see the clustering example, identifying typical activities. This is for online classifier when we perform it in real time using these buffering processes. And then study which indicates several, here I picked 2 samples of data for subject A and subject B. Second column indicates the duration in time, how long the subjects were observed, and then context for different states. Let me just remind these abbreviations. C was for commuting, B for busy, D driving, F fitness activity, H at home, L social, M meeting, and not busy, office, are relaxing, as sleeping. So these are abbreviations for different states used in the third column, and then different number of cluster activities identified, timestamps, stable number of stable transitions, etc. So we performed a number of these experiments, and these are the waveform type of the data for walk, cook, eat, etc. activities, sleeping state characterization, etc. Anyhow, the system clearly indicated that very variable results can be obtained and very variable analysis in identifying the states and then drawing specific conclusions about the subject's performance or overall state. Here is the architecture of the overall system. And the project which is very related to this one is also a context-aware cell phone. We are now actually combining these, merging these projects together. Basically, context-aware cell phone should be able to adapt to dynamically changing environment or psychological states, be aware when you should or should not be interrupted, advise you if you are idling. You can now accept or hear three calls from your daughter that you were not able to accept during your busy state. Here is the sensor box and the phone right now, but we are integrating into a much smaller unit. The first prototype is normally a little bit bulkier than you would like to see, but at the end should be... Here is some screen dump examples. You are currently in the idle mode. You can change to another mode. Your daughter or your mom tried to call you three times. Would you like to call her now because you are idling? If you try to call your daughter at 2 a.m. in the morning, the call will warn you. I'm sorry, if you try to call your boss at 2 a.m. in the morning instead of your daughter who is late, then the phone will call you. Are you sure you want to dial this number? Because it will recognize that the person on the call list is not someone you would like to call at, or at least you have never called that person at 2 a.m. in the morning. Something about the engine behind the smartphone. We have two engines. One is production-based system. CMU has been developing production-based AI type of the systems for years, and many of you have probably heard for SOAR, etc. So here is one example. If you get, for instance, incoming cell phone call, and you have meeting, you also have a task list indicating that you're meeting 10 minutes from now, and you need to drive another half an hour to the place of your meeting, you don't have time to handle that phone call. It directs incoming call to the voicemail automatically. That's one scenario. This is decision diagram used as another engine in the cell phone, context-aware cell phone implementation, identifying the states and transition related to those three screen dumps that I showed a few minutes ago. Some field tests that we have done. As far as the location service, location is clearly a very important parameter of the context. We identify context of the user or the elderly person with about 20 parameters. Location is one of the primary ones. There are different technologies how to, at least half dozen of successful technologies how to determine location. As most of you know, even in 1995 we tracked mental patients in the hospitals, in veteran hospital in Pittsburgh. As doctors told us that behavioral changes in behavioral patterns are better indication than changes in blood chemistry. So if the person takes a sandwich and goes to eat 2 hours, it's more indicative than certain blood chemistry changes indicating that the cycle of illness is repeating. So we track those persons. We use location sensing based on RF triangulation even 8-9 years ago. Clearly nowadays we are using better, more accurate methods. We have campus wirelessly covered, so we use triangulation of the signal strengths from the access points, and we can determine your location outside within 5 feet. Here is some diagram illustrating that. Diabetes management assistant. There is one overall trend that you have probably identified, which is having the patients actively involved in curing their illness and having large part of the patient-doctor communication, having patient actually accomplish by themselves large part of the things that are normally or have previously been done by the doctors. So we built a system that supports this overall trend. We call the DIMA, Diabetes Information Management Assistant. And here is some capabilities. The patient themselves can log their data, blood sugar, insulin, medicine, meals, exercise, get appropriate graphs. You can see pretty illustrative screen dumps in that respect. set alarm reminding you this is your daily lunchtime. For example, add, delete specific items. They can upload their data to the website, and the doctors can perform specific data mining, identify trends of the illness if specific new patterns are emerging. Here is the system architecture. Then another application in terms of emergency situation when, as I mentioned earlier, elderly person might get heart attack. There is smart agent running on cardiac patient's pacemaker which recognizes that abnormality, electronically warns the personal medical assistant which called ambulance and alert the patient. Now the ambulance agent uploads current information and transfer that to the hospital systems which gets ready all other information and data and charts about the patient. And basically the idea here is in such one urgent situation to decide if some action or surgery is needed even while the patient is on the ambulance car. Here is the chart illustrating a pretty much pervasive computing environment covering virtual cardiologist at home, patient's device, information and activities related to the hospital and high performance network and the ambulance car. So entire exchange is with time-stamped events as being recorded, cryptographic fingerprints for security. Some additional improvements to this scenario that I just described. Moving on, we identify that Alzheimer's disease, as this chart indicates, that 7 million Americans by 2020 would suffer from that disease. One prediction, importance of building devices and support for that kind of the patients. Clearly it's a very complex undertaking and much more work needs to be done here because, as you know, those patients need to relearn certain skills, even skills related to navigation, communication. This is one ongoing project and hopefully we should have some results on this soon. We call it WARE XP, WARE for Extraordinary Persons. The way we constructed Smart Room is to be able to track the people and the patients around the room. Again, we are using new technology, another technology for tracking. Here we have been experimenting with several technologies. Each of them have pluses and minuses and depends on particular application and scenario which one is the best. Here we are using something from augmented reality with visual markers, these hats that they wear on their heads. There are cameras in the ceilings and they can track the person's even their orientation. So if they sit around the table, you can see are they around a rectangular or triangular round table and how they face each other, etc. Electronically, they are putting post-it notes, doing some planning activities, etc., on the whiteboard on the left side, which we call thinking surface whiteboard. You can also, so I mentioned tracking the patients. You can also monitor items removed and added to medical cabinets, such as medications. You can automatically operate devices on patients' behalf when necessary, turning appliances, lights on, off, especially in the case of very frequent, as you know, illness, which is arthritis. And robot assisting elderly, we have a project at Carnegie Mellon called NurseBot, which is one mobile robot that lives in a private home of a chronically or older person. It's still a research platform. We have built two prototypes, Pearl and Florence. They provide intelligent reminding, telepresence. They collect data, have all recording devices with cameras, pretty sophisticated audio speech recognition system, mobile manipulation aids, arthritis, and similar illnesses, social interaction. Can provide you social context. The first thing when the robot left the lab for a press conference. First statement it made was, I'm happy to be finally out of love and talk to the people. So you can see it in a nursing home. We had human-computer interaction people on the team, and a faculty member, Sarah Kistler, spent a lot of time in trying to design even details like distance between eyes, the height of the forehead of the robot to make it as friendly or as natural to the elder people as possible. And clearly interaction, which is mainly by speech and touchscreen. And some conclusions. I think all these prototypes and systems builds indicated that wearable computers, pervasive computing, context-aware computing do provide technologies that can significantly help elderly in different kind of the context related to disability, to gaining independence. And even this platform can provide certain augmented cognition support when it's needed, providing also immediate suggestions. And there is a lot of learning involved here, and we hope that these prototypes do provide promise for a good computer-assisted living in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.